Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. O God, who gives us more than we ever deserve, we as your people approach you in prayer in these moments. You are the Creator God, and we wonder how you did it. We proclaim that you created the world and all that is in it, and you called it good. We are part of that good creation, so we praise you with grateful hearts. For the abundance of blessings of each passing day, the love of family, the support of friends, for a community of faith that helps us make sense of the ups and downs of life, and who walks with us through our joys and sorrows, we praise you with grateful hearts. For the treasure of our Christian faith and the trust that we are made right with you, not by our striving, but by our receiving your love in Christ by faith, for strength for living, hope in dying, and the assurance of our salvation in Christ, we praise you with grateful hearts. For the privilege of living in a nation where freedom is so basic that we take it for granted, and where prosperity is so rampant, and where life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness are assumed to be the rights of everyone, regardless of race, religion, or ethnic background, we praise you with grateful hearts. God of grace and God of glory, your love is an undeserved blessing. Not that we first loved you, but that you first loved us, even while we were yet sinners. We pray as an expression of thanks that we would not only receive this grace, but would reflect it in our lives as well. We want your light to shine in us as a beacon to a harsh world, a light which demonstrates our gratitude. In a world where it's not only difficult to be forgiving, but where forgiveness is regarded as a form of weakness, we pray that we might be wise enough to turn the other cheek, to go the second mile, to understand differences rather than to hate those who are different from us. As an expression of our gratitude for your love and grace, may we be slow to condemn and also quick to forgive. Help us to be aware that there are those who are looking up to us and not let them down. Help us to be attentive to those who need our care and not neglect them. As an expression of our thanks, alert us to situations where some encouragement from us could make a difference, or when some time from us would be a valued gift. In our thanksgiving, Lord, we quickly realize that you have supplied our needs in great abundance. Our daily bread is much more than we can eat. So, Lord, we pray that our thanksgiving might take the form of real giving. Giving of our abundance that there might be a more equitable distribution of your blessings in the world. In this world where the poor are always with us and where they have no voice and no opportunity to share in the passing parade of prosperity, and where love and justice go hand in hand, help us to respond to your requirement to do justice. Help us to do justice. As an expression of our thanksgiving, help us to share without expecting something in return. May we grow in giving thanks for everything, in all circumstances. And may we become even more deeply committed to you, our generous God, so that our minds are wise enough to know what we truly need, our hearts are strong enough to give freely, and our hands are open enough to share with our neighbors in need. For this is how we express our thanks to you. And now hear us as we pray as your people, as your son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen.
Good evening and happy Thanksgiving. Are we reading the scripture today? And I'm coming out of Luke 17 tonight here, verses 11 through 19. And it reads as following. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, and he passed throughout the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto him, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, and when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. In other words, he thanked God for his healing. And then it goes on to say, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow, this is weird. I know you're out there. I don't get pilgrims. I've never been to Plymouth Rock. I doubt any of us are going to do any serious life-dependent farming or worry about making it through the tough winter in Cocoa Beach. I doubt any of us are going to have to survive on our storehouse of dried corn or salted fish or root vegetables. We will head to Publix, Winn-Dixie, Walmart, Costco, or Sam's, warm up the plastic, and give thanks. The romance and sentimentality of Thanksgiving, along with American civil religion, segregate this day to family gatherings, costly airline trips. When I leave here, I'm going to the airport. On the most traveled day of the year, overeating, football games, emergency rooms from fools who fry turkeys and don't know what they're doing. And, of course, the faithful remnant will gather here and give thanks to God. In selecting the readings for tonight, I purposely chose something that was not traditional. For those of you who know me, you know I love tradition, but I like to do it very non-traditionally. So I chose the reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, about the 10 lepers, who were all healed, but only one of them gave thanks. If I were titling this sermon, it would be, it's not about thanksgiving, it's about thanks living. Let's be real, folks. In all of Scripture, there had only been 2 people who had been healed from leprosy. Miriam, after a 7-day punishment for speaking against Moses' leadership, and Naaman, the general of the army of Aram, a heathen from Damascus who thankfully obeyed Elijah's instruction to go and wash in that dinky little river Jordan, and he was healed. In all of recorded biblical history, there had only been 2 people healed from leprosy. So don't think that there was a big long line going to the priest in fulfillment of Leviticus 14 to go show yourself to the priest and be declared healed. But that day, there were 10 untouchables, 10 unclean people. Who stood off at a distance and called out with a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. over and over we can hear their chant. They were begging for food, for shelter, for clothing, for whatever. I find it quite fascinating that news of Jesus' compassion had reached them, but they hadn't heard about His healing. Not one of them asked for healing. But that day, as is so customary of Jesus, He gives people what they don't ask for. If you listen closely to the Scripture, you saw that there was no mention of a touch from Jesus or spittle made with clay or laying on of hands. There wasn't even a prayer. Just simple orders. Tell the 10, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. The text makes it clear that this healing occurred after their step of obedience. Can you imagine these 10 outcasts walking to the priestly village? Hey, your skin's looking better. Your face is clearing up. The scales are gone and your hands are soft and there are fingers where there weren't fingers before. This stuff's working! One by one they begin to examine themselves and I can just imagine there's a sprint to get to the priest first. Except for one guy. The text tells us he was a Samaritan. You remember the Samaritans, the wrong side of the track Samaritans. The good Samaritan who stopped to help the beat up guy on the side of the road Samaritans. The guys who went to Jerusalem all dressed up for a party on the wrong day because they followed the wrong calendar Samaritans. Who worshipped on Mount Gerizim instead of Jerusalem. You know, these dummies should have known better. The text tells us that they left Galilee and were heading to the southern part of the kingdom. I'm sure that one leper who was healed, who returned to give thanks, was from the south. He had good country parents who taught him how to live. And those parents taught him in all things to give thanks. So what does he do? While the rest of the boys have gone to show themselves to the priest, be declared clean, restored to their communities and their fellowships, the Samaritan's not worried about all that. He does what any good southern boy should do. And he goes to give thanks. The text tells us that he throws himself at Jesus' feet and Jesus receives his thanks as though he expected it. If you listen closely to the text, what it says is that this leper went from begging for mercy, for pity from the Master, to praising God with a loud voice in thanksgiving. Then comes the telling question. Where are the other 9? You know, those other 9 folks you've been hanging around with during these years of exile, of uncleanness, of ritual impurity, those guys that you hung out with because no one else wanted you or cared about you. This parable tells us very clearly that day, there were 2 camps, and it wasn't just the healed and the leper. It was the thankful and the unthankful. The unthankful probably felt that after all those years of struggle and uncleanness, they finally deserved the healing. And one of the things that I discover when people have a spirit of unthankfulness is they feel they deserve what they receive. They fall into the category of the entitled. Unthankfulness is born out of a spirit of being self-centered and self-consumed, where it's all about me. But not with thankful people. People who are truly thankful, I believe, are the most spiritually mature people. They know that they deserve nothing. That every grace gift that they've been given is absolutely that, unearned, undeserved, a moment of grace. Their thankfulness is born out of their relationship with God in the good times and in the bad times. And I've had both. Anyone can praise God in times of blessing. But you show me someone who can still bless God when He takes away. When our former way of life is changed in the twinkling of an eye and we go from abundance to poverty. Ephesians 5:20 reminds us that we are to give thanks to God in all things. In my curiosity, I wonder if this Samaritan would have thanked Jesus even if he wouldn't have been healed. But one of the things that this thankful person shows us is that once he received that healing, that grace gift of God to be restored, he returned to give thanks to the source of thanks. In the Episcopal Church, we have a tradition that we call the prayers of the people, and there's a little sentence in italics that says the people may add their own petitions or thanksgivings. You may have that in your church. But one of the things that I've noticed recently is that while we are free to offer people's names and travel prayers and birthdays and all sorts of other things like that with loud voices, when it comes time for us to give thanks, to say thank you to God, it's then that we put on the Episcopal mumble, where we thank God smallly for great blessings. Imagine for just a moment if we started acting like the man who was healed from leprosy. If you've ever been healed of a disease, maybe not leprosy, but something else, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can't shut up. You want to tell everybody. You want to give credit where credit is due. Imagine for just a moment if our thanksgivings were not said softly or mumbling, but shouted like praises, as the leper, the Samaritan leper, who was healed. People who are truly thankful, I believe, have learned that thankfulness cements families together. It cements friendships, unites communities. It moves us to generosity ourselves. Being thankful opens our spiritual eyes and ears to see things and be aware of things that previously we had not been aware of. It opens our hearts. Painfully, it opens our wallets or our purses or our checkbooks. Because if we are truly thankful, we have learned as people of God and as Christians who bear His name, we can't outgive Jesus. Being thankful is a condition of your heart, a condition of your soul, a condition of the Spirit of God that dwells within you. So the real question tonight is, will we mumble? Will we speak softly those thanksgivings? Or will we be bold enough to shout thanks for all God has done for us? Amen. Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, the wonder of life and the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of families and friends and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demands our best efforts and for leading us to accomplishments that satisfy and delight both us and you. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word, the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit that we may know him and make him known, and through him at all times and in all places may give thanks to you in all things. Amen.
Time for our offering, and our offering will be going towards the Thanksgiving meal.